his mouth, tasting freedom while he dies.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. Addy's been out of town. So it's been good around here lately.
Yeah. In Vegas, is hot.
Yeah?
A lot of people driving around with their shirts off.
Really? Smoking stuff?
Yeah, no sign of Sabu.
No sign of RVD at WrestleMania yet, or at SummerSlam yet.
Also possibly at a comedy show I saw Sabu, but I'm not sure.
Not sure. Terrorists there?
Apparently. See, man, what I said.
All right. Well, anyways, let's move on from Sabu.
Sabu.
I don't know what the hell. He made an appearance at that hardcore pay-per-view they did, right? For TNA. Yes. So, and they're going to do another one on TV. That's their next big event they're building up to.
Oh, another hardcore event in August?
Yeah, it's going to be the same idea as the I think it is Hardcore Justice, they're calling it. It's the same idea as what they did here with Destination X, that they're trying to build up a big one. I think that's where we're going to get the rematch, if I remember correctly, between Bully Ray and Saban. Some sort of hardcore match, gimmick match, tables or something like that, right? Yeah. So that's
good.
That's I believe that's what they're doing. So yeah, it could be.
Well, Destination X worked in terms of a little bit of a bump in their rating. I mean, you know what I mean? Like as much as they're going to get.
Yeah,
so that's really what they should be doing. I mean, if they keep doing a lot of these monthly pay-per-views, you know, jumbled like this, they'll fall behind in pay.
Well, the thing is, I think that's what a lot of people thought they were going to do, is try and build up to the occasional big TV show. And, of course, it's taken them this long to get it going. But who knows? Maybe they have a rhythm now. I mean, things are fine. That's Dixie.
Yeah, it's that Sissy. It's fine. They have Homicide now.
Yeah. Yeah, and Petey Williams. And it wasn't just a one-shot.
Well, no. It would have been if he had broken his neck.
Yeah.
It was by Homicide, wasn't it, on the Cop Killer?
Yeah, that was pretty vicious looking. But the Chris Sabin title win, now that I've had a chance to see it, did come across really well on TV.
I thought
the event was good. I didn't watch last night's event yet. I don't know how the rating is on that. Probably down again, I would imagine.
Well, down from Destination X, but I think it was 1.31 million.
It's actually a little better than.
You know what I'm saying? And they're thinking that Cops as a lead-in actually is helping.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cops as a lead-in is actually doing better ratings than TNA. So it gets like 1.4 million viewers, 1.5 million. So, it's all right. I mean, it's as far as in-ring, I'm not complaining about it. It's still just a matter, though, of out of the ring, where is TNA? Where are they going? I mean, let's get into the Dixie part of this a little bit here. You go right ahead. You go right ahead unless I lose you on an internet connection problem, which is what I did. And all right, we don't need that anyways. Okay, just to get back to right to it here. A few technical issues as usual when you're using Skype, but I just asked you, I don't know if you heard it, I just said, let's get to the kind of the crux of what's going on with TNA while they're having a pretty good in-ring product, and they have a new world champion and everything. Nevertheless, it's out of the ring that's making the biggest news, and that biggest news is probably being made by Dixie Carter.
Yes. What is that news?
Well, why don't you fill everybody in?
Okay. She's a cunt.
Well, that's not news.
Oh, right. Right. No, it's she's just trying to babyface the promotion, I guess. She did a Twitter deal where, you know, like ask Dixie Carter questions on Twitter. We want to questions. Yeah, she's done it before. This time I don't know, maybe even past times too, but apparently
certainly this time more than ever before.
Yeah, they just ripped her. Every question was negative and was just, you know, I mean, a general commentary on their on their product. And so I guess she didn't care for that. So don't put yourself out there. Well, that's just it, right? I mean, it's if you don't want to know, don't ask, right? Don't ask unless you don't want to know, I guess. But so that's it. So then she's put out this press release that they've sent over to us. We put it up on the site just because it, I don't know, brought joy to my heart to read. The company's going to be okay because they brought back Homicide.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's it, though. I mean, she didn't like the Twitter. She asked for questions. She didn't like the Twitter. She says she's not going to answer these negative questions. But she wants everybody to know, and basically, and she said that she had this speech before Destination X with the guys. Some of the guys thought it was good news. Some still don't buy it. Just basically saying, hey, look, any of the changes we've made, and there's been some significant ones, both in talent on screen and off. Anything we've done, though, has not been done for the purpose of just cutting costs. It's actually done to make a better product down the road. And for the good of the company, we're restructuring, getting in people who have more fit with our current vision.
And, we're broke.
And that's what she's also said in this press release, essentially, which is a load of crap. She said that the late payments... on the payments were due to other circumstances they couldn't control, essentially in that they had to pay out everybody for all these pay-per-views that they recorded. They had to pay them without income coming in from the pay-per-views themselves, which I think is a load of shit because you never have income coming in immediately from a pay-per-view. It's not like if we watch Slammiversary today and pay for it, they have that money in their pocket the next day.
No, but as long as Bob Holly got some money.
Yeah, well, that's it, though. I mean, they had to pay all these guys, they're saying, and that was the cause of it. That's the cause of why we fell behind on a few bills and we're late for some people. But everything's fine. We're okay. The fact that they got rid of it doesn't seem like a big deal. Jesse Sorensen, though, suffered a major injury for his working for the company. And, perilous for a while and was working behind the scenes. Yeah. For them and not a big position, but Dixie had promised him he would always be there. And he said this, he said this on Twitter, he said, I was promised I would always have a job, no matter what.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a job right now.
Poor Jesse. Let him go.
He went on and went pretty public on
Jesse. Fuck Jesse Sorensen.
Well, I mean.
She promised.
Well, you don't think if a person promises something, they should come out through with it?
No. I promise you will always have a job. Fuck off. If you're stupid enough to believe that, in the wrestling business, nonetheless, in any business,
here's the thing. Then she shouldn't have said it. Then she should have said, we're going to support you as long as we're capable of, and as long as we can help you. If that's what she says, that's fine. If she says, I promise you will always have a position, then... Right.
He will. He's taking it up the ass right now. But the thing is, shouldn't have said it, whatever. But, those are one of those things, you'll always have a job. You'll have a job, for life. You'll have a job for life. Don't worry about it. That's, again, but to believe that, and to go public with that,
No, I disagree with you here. Even if he doesn't believe it, she said it. Who cares if he believes it or not?
Who cares that she said it?
She said it. No, the point is she said it. If she's going to say it, then...
People say shit all the time. If you say it, then you should do it. No, fuck off.
Yeah,
it's wrestling.
You should.
It's a business. Yeah, sure. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah. Welcome. You know what?
Jesse Sorensen, welcome to the real world.
Yeah. She promised him something. She didn't look... You like it? Okay. Let's put it this way. If nothing else, you're in the minority in your feelings on this. Most people are very upset about that. It's one of the reasons why she was ripped on Twitter. She's very, at the end of the day, she has. When they're trying to babyface themselves and put on a good look for the company, it's the type of thing that makes a lot has generated a lot of bad press for them. which is not what they're looking for right now, regardless.
Well, that's for sure. I completely understand that it's bad public relations. It's good. Dixie Carter's going to come off bad for saying that. I'm just saying that Jesse Sorensen is an idiot for believing it if he actually believes it. And to come out and for whatever reason come out and say it.
But why shouldn't he expect a job? If she promises it, she's injured. He's injured performing for them. You know, a major injury, can no longer perform in the job and that he desires to do, doesn't have the upside of becoming whatever he would have become. And I don't think it would have been that high, but nevertheless,
the knock on Sorensen is that he wants to get back in the ring. He wasn't content with being essentially what they've done.
He's gone on to become a bodybuilder here is the thing.
So Vince will hire him. But he's got a thing where he wants to get back in the ring. He was doing, PA work and sort of agenting and doing some – getting some prep done, working 2-3 days a month. I mean, yeah, boo-hoo, he got – but, I mean, they got to cut costs. That's – sure, cut him.
Really? Cut that guy who's making $27 a month. But keep that guy who's making this X amount that isn't doing a goddamn thing.
That's making $18 a month and working 8 days instead of 3 days? Yeah, cut him.
No, I'm talking about the guys who are making significantly more and not bringing anything to the table.
That's a larger problem. You cut, Bischoff and Hogan that are sucking the life out of these guys. But, I mean, and Sting, for that matter. I mean, there's, Cosign Rampage. I mean, there's a whole bevy of stupid things that are happening. But the fact that Jesse Sorensen got cut because they needed to cut costs because of that, that's unfortunate. But it is what it is. I'm just saying that if he actually legitimately believed that because it was a promise that he'd have a job for life, he's dumb.
All right, well put. All right, let's move on from that. Anyways, anything else you want to say about TNA, the product, and Dixie?
Well, I mean, again, Dixie did the whole speech in front of they seem to do these, every 18 months or so? Dixie's got to rally the troops.
Hey, everything's fine. We've seen before her go in there and try and kick people's butt, you're not giving the effort, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, we've seen different things, but you're right. Dixie every now and then steps up and tries to act like she's a wrestling promoter.
Yeah, like I said, about every 18 months, she's got to come and do these speeches, and it's just, nobody takes her seriously. I mean, again, maybe Jesse Sorensen does, but I mean, nobody really. I mean, she's Dixie Carter. Her parents bought her a wrestling company. She doesn't know what she's doing. Anybody with half a brain can see that. The fact that these people are still in operation is because the mommy and daddy haven't pulled the plug on it, and their mom's pulling the purse strings back now to start to cut some people. And yeah, they were starting to get some momentum. They have some good things. Like you said, the Chris Sabin title win came off well. They've got the Bound for Glory series with some good matches, and again, things have some meaning to them in terms of those matches. But ultimately the story anybody's talking about is this behind the scenes, and how long can they go?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, right? Are we on their way to seeing them? Are we on the way to seeing, like you said, they can cut back. We said this last show, and it's true. They can cut back to, they can get rid of everybody. And as long as they continue to get a 1.0, and that's a good rating for Spike TV, and it draws the right demographic, Spike TV will continue to pay them. And they don't have to be on the road. They don't have to be have Hogan and Rampage and Angle and all these guys. They don't have to have those guys,
They can be Ring of Honor with a little bit better production.
Yeah, and a better TV deal. That's what they can be, and they can be successful. That said, since that's not what they are, or not what they seem to ever try and be, what you have instead is them losing money, and then it doesn't become about Spike, like you say. It becomes about the Carters. It becomes about Dixie's parents, and I don't know how old she is to still be living off her parents' tits. But, isn't she closing in 45, 50? in that match, you know. But anyways, I mean, it is up to them, right? I mean, ultimately, it's their decision. If they ever get sick of doing it, that'll be it. But
And it sounds like Janice more than Bob is, you know, maybe like a daddy's little girl or something. But it sounds like mommy is the one that's like, you know, reality check time here.
Yeah, exactly. It does sound like
If Lord, I mean, if anything ever happened, I mean, God forbid, but I mean, if anything ever happened to Bob, like, you know, then your days are numbered, really, with this company.
And if she's, say, 45, he's probably, what, closing in on 70?
Probably, yeah, 70, 75.
Yeah, you can start to, I'm not sure if she's, you know, an only child. I don't know her family situation, but just speculating. I mean, there's no reason to believe he's exactly spry and young. Hopefully he is.
Well, we've seen him. I mean, he looks like Bob Armstrong.
Yeah, he looks like Bob Armstrong, exactly. But Bob Armstrong's in great shape.
That's true. That's true.
He looks like Bob physically. Armstrong without the incredible physical fitness.
Yeah, exactly. Without the 22-inch arms.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but
yeah, I know. That's kind of what's going on with TNA. You ready to move on from them, or you have anything else to say?
No, yeah, we can. Please, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. I don't know. You have any notes, any news notes you want to get to? There's not much that's come out, but a couple little items. Did you have any yourself that you want to hit?
I didn't really. I said I've watched very little wrestling in Las Vegas there, so.
Well, we'll just hit a couple. I mean, it did come out that, you know, Matt Osborne, Matt Bourne, Doink the Clown, whatever you want to call him here, that it was indeed a weak heart combined with, you know, pain medication that caused the heart attack. I don't think that's a big surprise, but now that that is officially out there, do you have any further comments? I mean, I'll just say for myself, you know, he went to rehab. I know rehab is that the WWE put that on as strictly a public relations move, but it's still a good thing. It still saved Road Dogg's life, and it failed here, though. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but there it takes – I mean, WWE is paying for rehab, but the wrestlers are the ones going through rehab.
And they will let you have multiple opportunities with the rehab.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, again, ultimately, you know, just as the choice was made to take those, you know, painkillers, you know, the choice is made to stop and to go through the rehab. And, you know, ultimately it would fall to Matt Bourne, you know, in terms of taking the two to tango. WWE pay for it, but, you know, Matt Osborne's got to go. Got to go through it. So, I mean, the cause of the heart attack, you know, being a weak heart and a you know, and painkillers, a little surprising to me because I always thought it was a bear hug and a clothesline.
All right.
unless Anvil drops you.
Unless Anvil. Well, I mean, there was also the version. What did they call it when the was the? I don't know when it was. You know, the Heart Legacy. What they call that one?
Oh, didn't they call that the heart attack? I thought they did.
I don't know. Heart attack 2.0 or something like that it was. Oh.
Yeah,
something like
that. Yeah.
Anyways, all right. So, okay. Another little news note here. The Rock has been signed on to co-star with Arnold Schwarzenegger in the next Terminator film.
Oh, nice.
It appears that from what we understand in this one, just that this time the Terminator goes back, they send the Terminators back to kill Sarah Connor's parents, and that Schwarzenegger will not be playing a Terminator. He'll actually be probably playing, it appears, a police officer that they will be that will be protecting them, and that this police officer somehow impresses the Terminators enough that he becomes the model for the future one. So I don't know if this means that it could mean two things for The Rock. Could mean that he is either you know, his partner, a younger partner, or something like that, or he could be the Terminator they send back. I don't know. Would you have any? Do you think that's cool? You want to see The Rock as the Terminator?
I think, you know what? If The Rock is the Terminator that, you know, like, just nothing can stop him, then, like, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know, he keeps going and, you know, gets hit and gets up and never stops. I mean, all he's got to do is watch some Cena matches. And he's got some prep.
Yes. Learn how to not sell.
Learn how to not fucking sell.
Well done. I think what this means, though, is the likelihood. I mean, obviously, he's not going to lose any weight or size if he's going to be playing a Terminator. But the nope. likelihood with a movie like that that's going to be, you know, it should be big. The likelihood that it'll keep him out of the ring permanently or at least temporarily, I think, is a little bit higher even. Though I was giving it about a 40% chance he's coming back anyways.
See, the thing with these is, and I think the part to me, at least if, you know, in terms of if I'm running the career, the part that was keeping him away from the ring was this was the Disney connection and the Tooth Fairy and the gameplay, like all those.
Yeah, at least this is an action film. It's the same core audience you want to reach, essentially, you think.
And that's it, exactly. So it makes sense to go into wrestling to promote the G.I. Joes and the Hercules and the Terminators, because those are your, you know, that's your audience, right? Mm-hmm. So it I think that doesn't necessarily, if anything, doing these action movies keeps him involved in the WWE.
Well, it does keep him in shape, but I think what I'm saying is not that he's not going to be around. He'll never go away again. And seriously, permanently, he's never going to do what he did before, where he's gone for several years and wouldn't mention it. He'll always be around, but I'm talking about a match. I'm talking, does this give the chance for a match, which also, like I said, was already about 40%, I'm figuring.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it does. I guess it just depends on, how hurt he got. He's filming the Hercules right now with Tamina.
Mm-hmm.
You got Tamina a role in the Hercules movie because they're cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But he's filming that, and I don't know that fell massively behind. You know, from the WrestleMania injuries that he had.
No, I believe he just kind of worked through it, you know.
Well, I think he had to do some surgery, but they were able to film the scenes that he wasn't in.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But, and he's filming. So, I mean, depending, I guess, I think the bigger thing is how much of a pain in the ass that was for the movie company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll do it, and they've done it. But how much of a rigmarole that was, I think, is what's going to determine whether the studios say, okay, not right now. Don't wrestle right now.
I basically think it's just a feeling I have. In his heart, he wants to wrestle another match. In fact, I think he wants to wrestle a few more. In his head, he knows maybe he shouldn't. And as far as the studios are concerned, his agent, his publicist, all these people, his management team, they're 100% probably sure he shouldn't. So it's kind of that's kind of the way it feels like to me.
Yeah, and that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
Probably accurate.
All right, moving on then. Those are the only two real news items I wanted to talk about. Let's talk.
No,
what's that?
Lots of spoilers we got too.
We do have a lot of spoilers, but let's go back to, you did get a chance to see this Raw from this past Monday. What did you think of the show?
You know, the thing that really stood out to me and I liked this was the opening segment, the contract signing.
Mm-hmm.
With Cena and Daniel Bryan. And when Daniel Bryan came to the ring, all three announcers, you know, would you listen to this reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that. Oh, my God. These people are going crazy. Listen to that.
Yeah.
And that's a star. And that's what they need to do to keep him going.
Absolutely.
To keep getting him over, not, you know, like that's what they did with Austin. Mm-hmm. We don't know why they love him, but they do, you know.
Well, exactly. I mean, the thing is, and I think this week summed this up really, really well. He's extremely over with the hardcore and core audience. Casual audiences, TV audiences, not as much.
But it's still that a little pump, bit.
Though, because Steve Austin wasn't either. When he was getting a massive reaction on TV, he wasn't getting drawing huge ratings yet either.
Right, but exactly.
If you have something, you're seeing it in the arena, you have to believe eventually that translates to TV if you stick with it.
That's just it, stick with it. But that gave me, when they were doing that and having the announcers just put it over, that to me was the first real indication that they are sticking with it.
Yeah, and that they are getting behind him, because we're always, you know, skeptical that they'll fuck something up. That said, I mean, I remember watching the end of this show, watching how much time he got, how great his wrestling was, how he was presented with the announcers and everything, and thinking, if they keep on promoting him exactly like they did on this show, he should be, you know, this match should be a draw. You know, not a huge draw, but it should be somewhat a draw to their core audience.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so now, having said that, having read the spoilers for next week's Raw, I question it a little bit, but we'll probably get there later. Any other thoughts on Raw?
When anytime you can get, you know, Brian and Cesaro, you know, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's awesome.
That was the big thing that stood out, I guess, to me.
Yeah.
You harken it back to that 97, early 98 kind of era where with Steve Austin and The Rock and these guys that are kind of bubbling there to go. I mean, as much as people were talking about, you know, the Canada US and how great things were, I mean, the Godwin still existed.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's the thing here. I mean, if this was, we were watching this show, 90 minutes of this show is extremely good to very good. Yeah. I mean, Daniel Bryan and the CM Punk segment, all that stuff is about 90 minutes. And all that stuff is terrific, you know? If this was a two-hour show, we'd be saying this is as good as 97. Because they got to fill that extra hour, that becomes filler of stuff that's not
total
so good.
Total divas. Yeah. Oh, hey, we got to see a nipple, though.
I'm like, do I want to rewind to watch that again? And to hear, now that I've heard about the nipple the next day, I realize I don't care.
Yeah.
It was Brie, though. That's what's funny. She's the one without the tit job.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's the one that didn't get him. The rest of the show was what it was, and what was good was really good.
But you don't think about it, again, because you have those things that, but it is too bad that it, because we would be talking about, God, they're on fire right now, they're really going to take off, if they weren't feeling so much airtime.
No. That said, SummerSlam, again, looking like a decent show.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's, I guess, as you had rightfully predicted, it's going to be Christian against Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, I don't think I did that on the air. I think I did that just to you. Just sent you a text saying, are they going to set this up now? Or did I?
I think you did on the last show, yeah.
Perhaps, yeah.
Christian to be against Alberto Del Rio. But what I like about that, is that Christian is Christian is getting wins even before this number one contender match. Like, he's beating Titus O'Neil,
Fandango.
Like, he's beating guys, so he's on a, like, this isn't the lose get the title match. This is win get the title match,
exactly.
And win to get one, right? So, you know, interesting that Randy Orton gives Christian a handshake,
mm-hmm,
after that match, which I think, you know, really is kind of solidifying Orton's heel turn.
maybe. I mean, I do think, like you say, I mean, Christian's perfect to take on Del Rio. Just made sense. And Del Rio beats RVD in these spoilers that we're going to talk about, which is interesting to me that Christian's getting the wins and RVD isn't. I'm not sure what that means, if any.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just the right guy. He'll get a good reaction that night. He'll have a really good match with Del Rio. Everybody sees him at the world heavyweight title level, not at the WWE championship level. So, because we saw it is the new Intercontinental belt, basically.
Right,
so,
exactly.
It's a perfect fit in a lot of ways. And like you say, I mean, he came in, he gets a couple big wins when he comes in right away. And then pretty soon you have him jobbing because he's facing your Ortons and your Daniel Bryans and these guys who are right now in that WWE title picture and higher than him. You've taken him out of that. Now you start giving him a win streak. It makes sense. He goes after the world title. So, yeah, I know it's good. And they kept on talking storyline-wise because when Christian lost to Orton all that, you know, all those times ago when he lost the belt to Orton immediately after winning it, he just kept on asking, I just want one more match.
Yeah.
And now he's still doing that. It's just I've come back from this injury. I've worked through everything. Despite my age and my you know, whatever, I just want just one more chance, one more match. And people can understand that. It's simple. People yeah. can understand the simple, and they can relate to that. And they're pushing that storyline this time as a babyface, and I like that too.
Yeah, that's good as well. And, I mean, and you got the Shield against Mark Henry and the Usos, yep. right?
Yeah, the Usos need some mic time. So does Christian, frankly, but yeah, I mean, other than that, no, it's that's good. That's well done. I like Henry's babyface turn. So, you know, he's just, I like the idea that he's basically going there. You beat my ass, come out here and try and do it again. And even though yeah. he knows he's going to get a beat, but that's a babyface. He just won't back down. Right.
Yeah. Well, exactly. What is there in terms of Intercontinental?
I don't know what they're doing with Curtis Axel, because The Miz is the host of the show, so I'm not sure who that is going to be. Ryback looks like whenever Jericho comes back, that's a built-in feud. It appears to be. Then again, it appeared he had a built-in feud with Ziggler and they never went with it when he came back last time.
Exactly.
But they have built in the feud. Ryback's put Jericho out, and Jericho will be back for that idea. So Ryback's needing somebody. Axel's needing somebody. Orton's theoretically still needing someone. Depending, though, I mean, there could be a strategic reason to not give him a match here. RVD's still looking for someone. I could see RVD versus Axel.
Well, point. That's what I was thinking with the Paul Heyman factor, right? Mm-hmm. With RVD.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's kind of maybe below RVD, and I wouldn't have him doing another job to a Curtis Axel at this point, but maybe that's where they see him. I mean, maybe he's got to prove himself, or maybe he's got to stop kicking people in the mouth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I don't know what you do with Rob. I mean, I think I would have done a three-way with Christian, Rob Van Dam, and Del Rio. I guess I would have
added Ryback in there too, personally. I was thinking four-way, but.
Yeah, yeah.
And who knows, maybe you still can. I mean, they still could, right?
Exactly.
I mean, we know that they and TNA both listen to our show. So
that's right.
So, you know, that's you know, who knows? Maybe they'll go, hey, good idea.
Good eye fucking idea.
Yeah.
But I think that I should note, speaking of our show, is that the contract signing between Brian and Cena, the highlight was John Cena going, Daniel, if I can be honest with you.
It's true. That's true.
Oh, that made me giggle.
Yes, Vince Russo reference.
Yes, but I think I'm trying to think of what else there is. I mean, I don't know. There's still Rhodes and Sandow.
Yeah, for sure.
That have and Rhodes, you know, getting again just and more Rhodes, another guy that you know is benefiting from this babyface turn.
Absolutely, he's getting wins. And the other thing is. And we can talk about him getting mic time. I prefer promos. I think they do more for a guy than being a guest commentator. But he's a guest commentator during the Sandow's match with Orton here on SmackDown. It's actually airing where we are right now as we record this. So
yeah,
yeah.
But I like. I think when we were talking about when Punk got hot and did the promo a couple years ago, and there were some there were some other good things, and Mark Henry was one of those good things. Cody Rhodes is kind of that in that mold right now. If Daniel Bryan is having that breakout, Cody Rhodes is having a quieter breakout.
Yeah, I think Cody Rhodes is going to. It's going to take some time, but I think he will get over big as a babyface. His wrestling style is perfectly suited for babyface, right?
It is, yeah.
So, I mean, and it's just a matter of them doing a lot. I think he needs a nickname. I really do. Not Dashing either.
No.
You know, I think something like that. But I think he's going to I think he's going to be
Kick-ass.
Kick-ass Cody Rhodes. I think that's fine. You know? I mean, but they won't. But I mean, I think that'd be great. But yeah, I mean, his wrestling style will get over, I think, and his I think he's going to be, you know, coming up. In fact, I kind of was looking at him and thinking, because there's not so much pressure on it, and because it actually is kind of more subtle, and they're not paying as much attention to it, so they're just giving him wins and doing things right. I almost think that they're going to eventually he might overtake Ziggler as a babyface.
Yeah.
Because I kind of think they said, you know, I'm not so sure that they're not going to fuck up Ziggler.
I just come up with the greatest nickname / celebrity tie-in for this.
Okay.
Courageous Cody Rhodes. Okay. The initials, CCR. So who do you bring back but Bob Uecker? CCR. That's fucking Cody Rhodes. Don't you?
Okay. All right. Well, any Bob Uecker on my TV is going to be good.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, hey, more Bob Uecker on my TV is always a good thing.
That's right. That's right. And Hornswoggled could just be, you know, like Little Beaver.
Like Little Beaver?
Yeah.
There's a little horn everywhere.
Yeah. A little horny all over this place.
Yes. All right, go back and watch WrestleMania 3 and 4 just to hear Bob Uecker, folks, if you haven't.
Oh, yes. What else is going on?
You mentioned the spoilers. Do you have them open in front of you, or can you open them up there?
I can open them up here. I had my internet off just because
we're having some technical difficulties on the Skype.
We're having some connection problems.
Yeah.
Because of Dixie.
We put her on the site.
It's true.
Yeah.
Did I make it a porn site? So let's see. So we've got lots of spoilers there. Let's see. Next week's Raw show.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go and we'll talk. The Shield beat Mark Henry and the Usos.
Yeah.
Well, it opens actually with Vince McMahon and Daniel Bryan talking about how Bryan's going to have a match with Kane and then seen at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Shield beat Mark Henry and the Usos. So, again, I don't know. Does that...
Yeah, that does seem odd to me. A rematch at SummerSlam? Is that blowing it off? I mean, you got to have the Shield at SummerSlam. You could just do it. I mean, I guess the U.S. title doesn't get defended then, or does it?
I don't know if... We'll go to some more spoilers, because they have, like, the next 2 weeks of SmackDown taped here as well.
Okay, I didn't see
very
that.
Well, I'll double check, but there could be... I'm pretty sure I saw that it's a 50-50 booking thing where Usos and Henry beat the Shield. Later on, but I'll look at those in a minute.
I love that when the Shield didn't ever lose as a 3-0.
Yeah.
I miss that.
I know, right? RVD beats Fandango via a walkout.
Yep.
Caitlin beats AJ in a non-title.
Yeah.
Then Ziggler beats Langston via DQ. When AJ interferes.
So, yeah, they're having that match on Raw, too.
Yeah.
I know you got to fill 3 hours, but you can't fucking just hold off on shit.
And Caitlin and AJ again. I mean, so... But... And then
Chris... You know what? We won't be seeing one-on-one AJ versus Ziggler. Maybe you'll see Ziggler and Caitlin versus AJ and Langston. I could really see that.
Yeah, where they're going. True. That's true. And then Christian beat Alberto Del Rio in a non-title match.
Yeah.
So that's great.
That is
so good. Again, another SummerSlam match there.
Yeah.
Then Cody Rhodes beats Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Wade Barrett.
Yeah, whatever.
The day before Money in the Bank, Wade Barrett was to win the SmackDown briefcase.
You're shitting me.
No.
Yeah.
Then they changed it to Sandow. So
he's never Remember when he got hurt right before WrestleMania?
Yeah, that's that exactly. Never recovered from that.
Yeah. But he will. There'll come a point where they'll push him eventually.
Yeah, it'll be too late. No one will care.
Well, yeah, it could be a Jack Swagger, couldn't it?
Oh, no, it will be.
Yeah.
It's too late for Wade Barrett. Yeah. Daniel Bryan beat Kane. Then after the match, Kane lays Bryan out with a choke slam, and then the Wyatt family come out and beat Kane down.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, I have to see how it comes across on TV, I guess.
But I don't like that from Kane. I don't like. I just don't like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do like the Wyatt family. I mean, the Wyatt family beat the shit out of Tons of Funk. Man, you look at Tons of Funk, you just think you get rid of that Tons of Funk gimmick, and these two standing beside each other and put them as monster heels.
Yeah.
They're just so huge, and they have that look. They're both tatted up, mohawks, and the shit on their face. They would just be such a scary, scary tag team.
I just, the thing, all you do, and I mean, you teamed with them before, is you just put Albert in, like, a prison guard uniform, and you're set. Then you have the dancing guy and the prison guard.
Yeah. What were that team called?
And they could be a total combined weight of 911 pounds.
Yes, yeah. Akeem and the Big Boss Man.
The Twin Towers.
Yeah. Well, how about actually just have them being what they are, which is probably two big, scary, tatted up monsters. You know?
Yeah. But that's not as fun.
But it's better chance of drawing money.
But again, it doesn't anymore, though. I mean, it's too late.
Yeah, I don't think it's too late.
It's
because they haven't had that heel turn yet. You do that heel turn once,
maybe
it works, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. I think
the same thing. Even that with Wade Barrett. If they put Wade Barrett off TV and brought him back 3 months later with Steven Regal talking about how the British are as his manager and saying the British are being screwed over by the French trying to get into the country, that won't work. On the other hand, if you turn him babyface and completely doing what you're doing with Rhodes, maybe it will.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It won't happen, though.
No.
Brie Bella beat Natalya. Curtis Axel beat R-Truth.
Natalya, the only one the crowd reacted to on Raw when they showed the people from that awful-looking Divas show.
Oh, yeah, that debuts, a couple days, isn't it?
Here's what's going to happen. It's going to debut to, like, a 1.3, 1.4. And you're going to be really happy. And then it's going to go down almost immediately to, like, a 1.1. And after 5 or 6 weeks, you're going to be looking at it like a 0.7, 0.6. And it'll be cancellation fodder. And people will talk about how awful it was. It's going to go down as an ultimate disaster and failure.
No, it won't go down as an ultimate disaster and failure. Yeah, well, it won't go down as a success, but it's not going to go down as an ultimate disaster and failure.
If they're getting a 0.6, 0.5 when they put this much promotion on it, that'll be a failure.
No.
But
not an ultimate disaster and failure from a company that brought you WWF New York, the XFL, the World Bodybuilding Federation, the pile driver ride and the Debbie Reynolds Casino. They've had so many bigger fuck ups.
Oh yeah.
But they haven't
had many bigger fuck ups on TV.
Yeah, I think like the superstars and the NXT.
Now those ratings will be higher than what this was getting.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you were looking at 0.5s and stuff for at the end of that Superstars NXT.
I don't think you ever got down to that 5.6.
It'll have a difference.
Nobody looked at Superstars and thought it had potential to do more. Whereas they're looking at this and thinking they're going to have a huge show. And that's the difference.
I think they're just I think they're just looking at it like they're going to make some money.
Oh, they're looking at they're thinking they're going to have the next Kardashians. That's what they're fucking thinking. They're going to have the next Honey Boo Boo. That's what they're thinking.
They're going to have some money.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out exactly, they got paid, so who cares?
Who cares? You're right. You know, if you have something that sheds your company in a poor light and makes potential new viewers who might see this, think that you're a piece of shit and never want to and talk about your company and never want to watch it, and it turns off potential viewers and just in general paints your business in a poor way. You're right. I mean, who cares? As long as you got paid, there's no other
exactly.
There's no other damage.
No, that's right. Because yeah, Total Divas being out does not affect the WWE's bottom line negatively long term at all. Somebody decides not to become a wrestling fan, okay, great.
Well, that's true. They already have, what was it, 120 million?
Exactly.
Something like that in their surveys. I
mean, it does. 120
million in the States. They don't need any more.
It doesn't do fuck all. It is wrestling is going to chug along, doing what it is, what it does. I mean, we just passed through 2003 and 2004, and here we are, and we got through 96 and 95. I mean, it's just there isn't anything like it's like a cockroach, it's just going to keep going.
Uh-huh.
So. If Total Divas doesn't do, they got some extra money, and they'll just move on to the next thing.
All right. I hate it.
Let's see. Okay, so then let's go to SmackDown here from, I believe this one's from Houston, Texas.
This is the one that's airing right now?
Yeah, probably. Let's see here. I think it was a dark match that Eric Rowan and Luke Harper beat Tons of Funk.
I thought that was actually on SmackDown, but maybe, yeah, who knows?
Okay, yeah. Anyway, and then I'm just looking here. Del Rio is going to announce, do his...
yeah, he wants to pick his opponent. He wants to pick, like, Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, yeah, and Ricardo.
Yeah.
And so then they make a three-way between Orton, Christian... and RVD to do it. Next up is Swagger versus Cody Rhodes. Cody wins in like 2 minutes. Then blah, blah, blah. Sin Cara loses to Biggie Langston. Punk beats Fandango. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Layla turned on Caitlyn.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. From, she kept her from pouncing on AJ. Then AJ and Layla both skip away, holding hands as they prance up the aisle.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it'll be so Caitlyn and Natalya, probably.
Caitlyn and Layla.
Caitlyn and, No. I'm saying it'll be AJ and Layla against Caitlyn and Natalya. Kind of, I think she'll be the one who will. Actually, maybe not, considering she said never trust a Reinhardt. Who the fuck knows? Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? I think it might even be AJ and Natalya if they are going to promote that Divas show.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
So, let's just look here. Yeah, and then Christian... Christian wins the triple threat. That kind of ends that one. And then are there more? Oh, that's not this one. That's next week. Sorry.
That is next week. Okay.
Corpus Christi, Texas is the one that's just airing. Look at this superstars lineup. Justin Gabriel beats a jobber. R-Truth beats Alex Riley. And Sin Cara beats Kurt Hawkins.
Alex Riley.
Yes.
And he's back.
Yes, off the commentary desk of Superstar.
Yes, yes. Obviously, Brad Maddox's best friend.
Yes.
I don't know what the hell. He's just sitting there for no reason. You're like, is that fucking, who is that guy right there? Is that Alex Riley talking to him? Because I haven't seen him in years. And it's not announced. Oh, well.
Yeah, I thought that was Michael Tarver.
Yeah, basically.
Let's see here. Cody Rhodes.
He's not as athletic, though.
No, that's true. It's Orton against Sandow. Orton wins with the RKO. Rhodes steals his Sandow's briefcase. Punk does an interview about Lesnar. Fandango comes out. He beats him. Yeah, then sure enough, Henry and the Usos. Oh, no, Henry and the Usos beat the Primetime Players and Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Then Del Rio beats RVD. Then there's a series of skits with Sandow looking for his briefcase.
Yeah, it got tossed in the river or something, or the lake or
that's at the end of the show, yeah. Steve Austin throws The Rock's Intercontinental title into the river.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Then again, Rowan and Harper beat Brodus and Tons of Funk. Let's see here. Caitlin using a spear. Oh, okay, so it's... Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Christian beat Jack Swagger. Punk beat Fandango. Yeah, and then they throw the fucking shit in the briefcase in the river, and that's it. So those are kind of all your... Those are all your spoilers.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Next week's, well, probably has some moments that are worth watching. SmackDown actually sounds like a better show to me than Raw, but...
Well, it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same people.
Yeah, pretty much, exactly.
So... It's, yeah, it makes, I mean, that makes sense, right? Yeah. So,
except for the Daniel Bryan and Cena stuff, which is exclusively on Raw.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I'm just trying to think of a thing here. I guess the, yeah, they could do, what's it, did they do two? I think, I guess you're right, they'd probably just do a tag match. I was like, they probably wouldn't. they wouldn't do two singles divas matches at SummerSlam. So
no, they wouldn't. So maybe they do it. But then again, like we say, we also have Langston and Ziggler. I don't know. Like they can't hold anything off. But whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so it is a little tough to judge.
Ah, okay. Yes, that's true. Okay, so here we go. There are already changes in the WrestleMania plans.
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it means, but... Yeah. But
nobody knows what the plans are, so no one knows what the changes
but
the are.
But they've made changes, yeah. So, I mean, who knows?
And I guess the big
it's
show,
unusual they have these plans at this point anyways.
Exactly, yeah. So.
And the big show, yeah, they announced him to come back, advertise it, but he couldn't pass medical to get the clearance on his knee.
And Big Show and Mark Henry against The Shield in a handicap match is scheduled for SummerSlam.
Oh, is it?
Yes. So the segment where The Shield beat down Mark Henry and the Usos made the save was not the original plan. Big Show was to make the save.
Hmm, interesting.
So it's supposed to be Big Show and Mark Henry.
So that
team.
That would explain then actually why you would have them lose to The Shield.
Yeah, right? So they can already have had that match, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I need somebody else. He goes and gets, you know, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I would love to see, Show and Henry as a permanent team, as a heel team again, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do it as a babyface first, I guess, just because it kind of makes sense, right? But, wow, it's, they're already doing the bidding, I guess, for lots of WrestleManias as well.
Yeah.
San Jose, and I guess to go in that, Where do the 49ers play?
Oh, yeah?
That new, it's newer. It was new, actually, for the XFL, because San Francisco's XFL team was, like, the highest attendance. But it was really because the stadium was new, and people were going to see the new stadium.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
first
that.
First thing in it. And then next is Dallas for Cowboys Stadium.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, so, but...
Well, they both of those cities would be good hosts for what they're looking for, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the... San Jose bid is that the... is going to be at this Levi's Stadium, which is currently being built.
Mm-hmm.
So, the connectivity in a stadium is going to have 65,000 people would be... Would be better than people's home internet, it says.
Well, it'll be better than what we've been having on Skype here.
Yeah, no shit.
But that said, we'll try and get a live show going again next week. It's just you just came back from vacation and everything is a bit up in the air. But you know what? all right, let's get back to, when I hear that, I think new stadium, they have a chance to be in there early. But Dallas also has a world-class stadium, and they're looking for events too. So both of those ones, I could see either one. I want to get back here to, there's a lot of speculation that Orton will be kept off TV, or kept off SummerSlam possibly so that he can cash in the Money in the Bank immediately after Daniel Bryan wins the belt. Who knows if it'll go on last or not, probably not, but, and there's a lot of logic behind it in that you can't have three top baby faces on Raw. And it would really, it would allow them to maybe make Daniel Bryan a more sympathetic figure. It would be doing it at a big event where there'd be a lot of press around, Los Angeles is where they always are, and probably get some more viewership. It should be the third highest watched show for pay-per-view of the year. Just create a lot of sympathy and really could take Daniel Bryan to that next level. Could get Randy Orton over as a huge heel. So there's a lot of reasons why people are thinking that makes a lot of sense. So playing out that scenario, what are your comments on it, or do you have any other reasons why it makes sense? Or, let's get your thoughts on that first here, and then we'll get to where I actually want to go with this.
Yeah, I do think that might be where they're going.
It makes sense to think that he wins the belt and Vince leads Randy Orton to the ring immediately. Like, fuck no, you're my guy, not this guy.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of things that I look at both long-term and short-term with that. Short-term, this fucking evil boss thing just has to end.
Oh, God, yeah, it had to end a decade ago. It was played out to the worst degree when it was Bischoff versus Cena and the most basic Austin McMahon ripoff. And that was like 2004, 2005, I think. So, that's it. It's 8 years ago. It's done.
Oh, and even in 3, they did Bischoff and Austin. It was way long played.
Had it over in WCW with Russo doing it and fucking Russo doing it. Different people, lots of different people doing it at TNA. You've seen it in ROH.
It needs to end. Also, that's the shorter term thing that I don't like about Vince leading Orton down and being like, no, you're my guy, blah. But
it's definitely, though, Vince versus, like you say, Daniel Bryan, though, is the...
Yeah, which is retarded. And the bigger picture thing that I look at, and the reason that I you mentioned WCW and NWA, and that's that company. That company isn't around anymore, and the WWF is, and the difference between the two, fundamentally, was Vince had his guy, and NWA had the Chase. I'm a fan of...
That's such bullshit. We've been over this before. That's such...
Yeah, but I'm a fan of the guy. I'm a fan of the guy. Bullshit? You don't want to call it fucking bullshit? I'm a fan of the guy. Give the fucking title to fucking Babyface and fucking Daniel Bryan. I'm going to be guy after guy after guy after guy and be on top. Done.
Okay, but Steve Austin never did that.
No.
He didn't. The Rock didn't. They were always screwing them, and they were always chasing.
Didn't we just talk about how that was fucking played out?
Well, yeah. We did talk about that. But I'm just saying, you don't think the Chase works. The Chase works. The Chase worked in WCW at one point.
Yeah, Didn't the Chase work in WCW, man? Did it ever work in WCW?
Well, when Sting
did the thing. You had the one anomaly there, then you had the other anomaly. What I'm talking about is when shit gets played out, you go back to...
When you had a hot heel on top, when you had Hulk Hogan as a hot heel on top, a lot of people could draw against him. Randy Savage was able to draw as a babyface against him then. Lex Luger was able to draw as a babyface then against him.
Because Hulk Hogan turned heel.
Yeah.
So that's Hulk Hogan turning heel.
Yeah, Randy Orton's not as big, but hey, you know what?
Oh, yeah. Gee, hi, welcome to understatement land.
Nope, that's true. But I am saying... You're saying the Chase doesn't work. I'm also a fan of the guy in the, like you say, in the 80s. We saw those long title reigns.
The reason that I want to see these long
Hogan titles. And whatever. Yeah. I agree with that. But, I mean, I
think it's time to go back to that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that I don't think you can say the chase doesn't work and that's if WCW's out of business because they did the chase and WWF didn't.
What I was doing is contrasting and comparing the two and talking about how I'm a WWF fan and one of the reasons I was is because of the guy and not the chase.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of the chase. There was a time that the chase worked. The chase, along with Austin McMahon, is played out.
Yeah.
And we need to go back to the guy. And they need – but they need to have the right guy, I guess, is the best way to put
Absolutely.
It. Because they've tried the guy with Cena, and that's also played out, right? So you can't have – and the reason that Cena's played out is because of the isn't because he's the guy and he always beats people. It's because he doesn't whether he wins or loses, it doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you needed to come out when Hogan lost to Andre, it mattered.
Yeah,
you know when Hogan lost to the Warrior, it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
You know Hogan could be the guy when it lost. When he lost, it mattered, right?
Yeah. Yep.
With John Cena, if he wins or loses, it doesn't matter. You're still going to get the same poopy, you know, haha.
Well, that's a big part of it is obviously how he reacts to the loss, right? That makes it so it doesn't matter. I mean, they have done a better job with the belts here, last couple of years. Both of them actually, you know. I understand what you're saying, but okay, so that's. Storyline wise, though, you're talking booking wise, overall booking wise. Storyline wise, it's not bad. But I mean, I'm not sure they're going to go in that direction. The question is, do you think they're going to go in that direction then?
I could see. Maybe. Yeah, I could see it.
Okay.
I
Now, I'm going to throw this past you. Everybody's talking about Randy Orton. I say, fuck Randy Orton, take him out of the picture completely. We've seen every now and then there's that opportunity to turn John Cena. And if you're at SummerSlam and it's John Cena signing with Vince, or even if it's John Cena does it himself, does something to turn heel and Daniel Bryan doesn't win, but is screwed. And even if it's without the, like I say, a Vince McMahon or whatever, and Cena turns heel, he will have great heat. And that'll be a chase that will for a little while works until Daniel Bryan gets it the next time around, say in 3 months, say at Royal Rumble or whatever, he has to work hard for it, or even at next year's WrestleMania. When he finally gets it then against a heel Cena, it would work. What do you think? I think it's a great time to turn John Cena because I think Daniel Bryan will not – he'll get to the core audience. He'll have a harder time, though, breaking out as the star he can be, as long as John Cena is also a babyface sitting there.
Yeah.
And again, for all the reasons I said, it was good to do it at SummerSlam. Bigger audience, more media, I think is a good time to do it at SummerSlam for not just Randy Orton. I think it's a good time to do it at SummerSlam for John Cena for the same reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that if he turned. I mean, yeah, Cena needs, Cena is Cena until he turns heel. To me,
yeah, Cena with I think Cena with Vince, I think could be dangerous. I think it could turn a lot of fans off because a lot of those younger fans. I think if he just turns heel, people will just hate him. But I think if he turns heel by Vince, they'll feel betrayed and may walk away. So you got to do it the right way. It could also get incredible heat. Or it could do what Austin, when he signed at WrestleMania 17 with Vince, what it did, right?
Yeah, that's probably more.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. But I think he could turn heel right now and put that would put the shine on Daniel Bryan. That will allow him to become what he needs to become. And I think that would be fresh. I would love it if – I'm hoping like hell they're thinking that. I don't think they are, but I'm hoping like hell they're going, this is the time. We've had a few times to turn Cena. Last time was – 18 months ago against The Rock or whatever. But let's do it again.
There's always times. There'll be another time to turn him. Cena's not turning. I mean, that's... I don't see that at all. Should he? Of course, because then he'd be possibly interesting again. But I don't see it.
So you like the idea, and you like it for Daniel Bryan. You just don't think it's going to happen.
I think you go to, yeah. I mean, I think he does the, for one thing, I think they would build more towards it. I think you would be able to, I mean, this is WWF, you'd be able to telegraph the heel turn. More so. And maybe we'll get there, like, as TVs go on. We've only really had the, what, he picked the opponent and then is why I picked you. But, I mean, the story of, yeah, Bryan winning and Cena, you know, being frustrated to go and raising his hand, but then clotheslining the shit out of him and turning on him to end SummerSlam.
You could do that, or like I say, you could have him retain by doing something, turning heel. Or, you know what, you could even have is both him and Orton together turning heel on him.
I don't know. I don't know. It's, you know, and then you have what? You have Bryan and Punk against Cena and Orton?
You could absolutely do that. I think people would really love that idea, actually. I think people would really love that idea. That would feel like an actual main event feud, not like, you know, The Rock and Cena versus R-Truth and The Miz.
What?
So, no, I think that would be, I think that would absolutely work if you did that. And it would give you some fresh things. But again, and you know what? Yeah, a new two-man power trip, right? And with Vince kind of there in the background, but not obvious.
No.
Not obvious. Well,
no.
He's there, though.
No, Vince dead.
Okay, I'm okay with that, too.
Blow his fucking car up again.
I was going to say I'm okay if the stage falls on him, but whatever. Whatever, you're right.
I mean, just, no. Vince, no.
Yeah, I would love all the McMahons get off my TV.
Exactly.
You know, I don't need Triple H. I don't need Steph Fatney, and I don't need Vince.
I mean, and Hunter's probably the closest thing, but no. Just get them all off. Who gives a fuck? Get rid of the goddamn general. Get rid of the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, and just have these two former babyface heels against these two hot up-and-coming babyface superstars. And just, yeah, fucking go for it. Why not?
Yeah.
Try and...
Why not?
All right. Anything else you want to say on that, or do we want to move on to the Twitter questions I got here? I got two Twitter questions, one email question. You've been gone, so I don't think you've had a chance to even see these.
No, but I do. There's one. We also got another Twitter question that I got here, too.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you do yours here, then?
Okay. This is from our good friend, Stephen Ajami.
Hmm. What was his name?
Huh? Ajami. I had a little bit of that. I took a puffer, though. Question, what would you do with the Shield to make them more relevant?
It's you know what? It's pretty simple. What do you do with the Shield? You have them continue to win as a three-man team. Starting here at SummerSlam, you have them undefeated until next year at WrestleMania when they take on The Undertaker.
And Kane.
Yeah, and Kane. Or the other thing, like I say, is you have them continue to win as a three-man team, never lose. You eventually turn them babyface, never lose from here on out. From here on out for the next 6, 8 months, whatever. 6 months, 5 months, whatever. However long it takes to make it insignificant to people's mind again that they never lose. And then you have that babyface team take on the undefeated Wyatt family. 6-6. It's pretty simple. What do you do to make them relevant? Have them win and make and present them as stars.
Protect them. I think that there's enough, call them, fledgling upper mid-card guys as well. Like, they can beat Big Show and Mark Henry.
Mm-hmm.
They can beat Rob Van Dam.
Exactly.
They can beat Christian.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back, they can beat Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
So, that... You know,
to make that match, make that next match where it's like, oh, these are the guys they could actually lose to. Important.
And yes, and you can play those guys that I just mentioned, you know, all the way to WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, and do that even if you have, you know, you could put Sin Cara and Rey back together and do that with Rob Van Dam and is a 3-on-3 or absolutely. You know, there's so many ways to go.
Yeah.
You can do, you know, I don't know if Edge is willing to get beat down, you know, and then you could spark a bit of a Christian thing, there.
Yeah, he'd have to be willing to work with the company first.
Well, that's true too. That's true. Well, I mean, at least in a one time appearance, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's necessarily adverse.
No, I know.
That, but I mean,
he's not really in the fold though right now. That's all.
No. Just a one shot deal. Yeah. And, but anyway, I mean, like, so there are some options, but I think it's a combination, like you said, of win, you know, being protected wins and losses wise. I don't think they have to be undefeated, but I think they have to be protected.
I would love to see him undefeated. But the other thing is, I really think at the end of the day, you have these guys and they're a 3-man team and they did really well.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, I think that the Wyatt as a 3-man team, who I always saw as more potential as an act. I mean, they don't have, you know, a few of the intangibles that the Shield has. Ultimately, I think if you have to get behind just one of them, you get behind the Wyatt family. If you have to pick. I think you picked the Wyatt family.
I don't know. I like Bray Wyatt. I don't know about the other two. And I like all three of the Shield. Like, I could see all three members of the Shield having singles careers.
Absolutely.
I can't see all three members of the Wyatt family having careers.
Absolutely, which is another reason why I protect the Wyatt family as a team. Because this is Bray Wyatt, I think, will be great no matter what. And obviously they already think that he's going to make a great baby face at one point. But
yeah, as long as he can keep the weight off.
Yeah, exactly. That said, as an act, they'll be most effective. They're only going to be – those two guys are only going to be effective part of that Bray Wyatt act.
Yeah.
You know, Harper's not bad. Rowan is not very good. But they're really only going to be effective as part of that act with the mask and all that shit. The Shield will be effective no matter what, even if you decide to break them up. So I think if you're going to get behind, and I think that as a 3-man team, the Shield will not get over as big. I have to pick one. Like I say, I go back to picking the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
That act is awesome. I just think it's a tremendous act. And I couldn't believe they didn't have them this last fucking Monday. They didn't have, just a little quick little video, they didn't have them on. I thought that was a mistake.
I don't know what a mistake.
I think it was. Not a huge mistake, but a mistake. Nothing. Not much is a huge mistake, but a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been nice to see them, but you know, but then on SmackDown they fight the Tons of Funk, right?
Yeah.
So they just were on SmackDown this week instead of Raw. So it's, you know, it's not like they were taken completely off.
No.
And they're back on Raw next week, and they're probably back on the SmackDown again. Yeah, so
that's true. Then again, SmackDown is SmackDown, and Raw is Raw.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Main event is main event.
It is.
I hear that.
All right. The Twitter question I have here, Fleer fan says he likes it when we play this and that, so he's wonderful. Do it this and that, and says Ric Flair or Bret Hart.
Yes. Okay. That's a tough one.
I know. I think he was trying to give us a tough one.
I would go with. I don't know.
Want me to go here, and then you can.
Sure, you can go, and then I'll.
So I had a little time to think about it. You haven't here since just got.
That's true.
The thing is, if I'm picking for me personally, who would I want to watch? I pick Bret Hart. If I'm building a company, it's absolutely Ric Flair. Ric Flair's overall better. His work rate isn't quite as good, but he has enough great matches that. He can put up as many great matches, pretty much, or almost as many, and he has a better overall package with the just better charisma and better speaking ability and everything.
I was going to say the promos put it to Flair to me.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm doing it for me personally, who do I want to watch? Like you're saying, oh, let's put in a DVD of Bret Hart or Ric Flair. I'm going to go Bret Hart every single time. But if you're asking me if I'm going to build a company, I'm going to go Ric Flair every single time.
Now let's listen to the promos. Who do you want to hear?
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of. I mean, I have some Bret promos I love, but still, let's be honest. It's not just the promos; it's the way he you know, it's just the overall charisma, even just the entrance and, you know, in the ring and just all of it. Just the, you know.
Yeah. And when he tells you he doesn't even like ham.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when if you say to Bret Hart, go inside the ring and be so charismatic that you can make when they're doing the chair gimmick, what was it when they were dancing?
Oh, the musical chairs.
Musical chairs. Make musical chairs entertaining. Just make it entertaining because you're so charismatic. He can't do that. Ric Flair can. So yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
But I would never choose to watch like, personally, but there's a difference between personally and a company. So that's my opinion.
Yeah.
You pretty much on with that?
Yeah, I think that's Flair. Flair would be the guy. I think Bret Hart has more my personal favorite matches of the two.
Yeah. All right, so Smithy. So I'm guessing this guy's probably a longtime fan. He sent us an email.
Maybe he's related to Davey.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering. But Smithy was asking if there was any times that you thought that they didn't turn somebody heel or babyface that they really missed out on a chance in the past that ruined a guy's career. That he never became what he could have been because they missed the opportunity.
For a turn?
Yeah.
And ruined
his career. Now, I mean, I wouldn't say ruined his career, but certainly when you turned Austin and Goldberg, those are two where you go, that was a mistake. They never should have either one of them been turned. But I don't know if it ruined their career. But I mean, I just think I think he might be being a little dramatic with how he put it. But just the idea of between you and me here. I mean, would you say there's somebody who's like, man, they missed that opportunity. He never became the star he should have been. Like, he stayed at mid-card. He would have been something else if they turned him heel or turned him babyface right there.
Well, you know what, actually. And I think they kind of did, but they never capitalized on it. I thought that during the Eugene storyline that there was tremendous potential for William Regal to break out and have matches against Hunter and Evolution and get to that next level. And, you know, I mean, they said in dramatic because it didn't ruin his career or anything. But I thought you had so much potential in them playing with Eugene, and Regal just snapping and can't take it anymore. He had the one promo, but that should have led to a big match with Hunter and Regal.
Yeah, it should have, absolutely.
And they didn't do that. Along that lines, talking about a turn that, again, dramatic to say ruin his career, but that exactly that same time period when when Evolution turned on Randy Orton.
Yeah.
That set Randy Orton back.
Absolutely.
How many years, right?
Quite a while, yeah. I mean, he was really over as a hot, dislikable baby or heel. Yeah. And there was nothing about him that screamed babyface. Nothing. They tried, it failed, he had to go heel for several more years again, and it did set him back, absolutely. It took him almost 2 years before he got his feet going again.
He would have been a guy, though, that, like I said, especially in that era, that they would have looked at because of the success that they had coming off the Attitude Era, where it could be that cocky dick, and they could present him as a babyface that way, but they completely changed his character, had him, you know, dressing up in suits and sport jackets and such and smiling and just being a happy guy.
Yeah.
And that's really what killed it is that the reason that the babyface now and he's the Viper.
He's still the Viper, exactly. He still retained the qualities that people like. He's just not quite the dick. But there was also an opportunity there when he was around that legacy time, there was an opportunity where it seemed he would have been huge to turn him and they waited about 6 months too long.
Right.
And same thing, even there was an opportunity in that whole legacy thing to turn, it appeared there was an opportunity to turn Ted DiBiase babyface and he would have gotten over huge. And they blew that opportunity.
Just about to go there in terms of, because that's the progression there is, then they fucked up DiBiase.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it happens all the time. I'm sure there's a lot of more of them that I can't think of.
Well, it's easy to look at that, like that 2003 period and go, oh yeah, that was fucked up, or that was fucked up, 2004, that was fucked up, because they did that a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of I'm really trying to think of any others. I mean, they didn't really ever capitalize, I thought, on Matt Hardy.
Oh, absolutely,
And sort of the momentum that he had. He had that series of matches with Edge. I think his first promo actually killed him.
It hurt a lot. Yeah, Matt Hardy will not die. That hurt a lot. It didn't come across good. But I was thinking even more where they killed him was when he was when they finally turned him baby or heel and he was at his MFers and they didn't properly take advantage of that, right? So
that's true too. I mean, that got him to kind of that next level, but that almost got him to like Zack Ryder level.
Yeah,
you know, a little bit higher because they were still a little bit better at at booking then. But yeah, that kind of.
Well, I thought that the baby or the heel turn they had from Eddie when he was so popular as a babyface to have him turn and go against Ray and everything, I thought that was a big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things on that is that, I mean, that for the Latino market, though, that drew huge SmackDown ratings.
Yep.
For them. It also brought, I'm your poppy, Dominic.
Yeah, it brought us that shirt and that phrase. But and I love that, but you know what? If it had been the two of them, I know, if it had been, you wore it on Father's Day, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. But if it had been the two of them as baby faces at the top of the card against somebody that also still could have drawn as the within the Latino market. So I just didn't think that sometimes it's you just see it all the time and it's like Jesus, they just want to boo this guy or they just want to cheer him and they just go, oh no, you can't do that, right?
And I mean, really, everybody that CM Punk went on his rant about to Vince McMahon, you know, the Harry Smiths and the Chris Masters and the Luke Gallows, at the time were missed opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there that, that could have had potential to be something, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that they, who knows, maybe they would never because they never really got that. They never got that opportunity.
So, yeah, exactly. You really can't tell. So
it's not really a situation where they were building momentum and they should have been turned to do it. I tell you about something that they talk about a career killer. I mentioned him. Is Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
You know, when he got into that thing with Kane.
Yeah.
And Kane kept killing him. That was it for Zack Ryder. And then Eve kicked him in the nuts at WrestleMania, and that was really it.
Yeah. Just destroyed.
When was the last time we saw him on TV?
I think he lost to Fandango or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See? So.
Who gives a shit? So.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. And the last question I have, I've lost. So, no, I didn't. Sorry. I have it here. I have lost it, but I remember it. I just don't remember who the hell sent it here. But somebody was asking us about our favorite tournaments. And I don't think he's acting like King of the Ring event, because an event would be a different thing, just the favorite King of the Ring tournament or other tournaments we've ever seen. That said, I would love to talk about our favorite King of the Ring events and moments sometime, but
yes.
but not this time. We'll go on too long with that. But what are your favorite, some of your favorite wrestling tournaments?
Favorite tournaments. I think the, that Gold Rush tournament,
uh-huh,
that they had was really good. I think that was about 2005. I think
somewhere in that range. Yeah,
Shawn Michaels,
Shawn and Shelton. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Shelton. He springboarded into the super kick there. There was that.
Yeah.
I think of one of the greatest tournaments in wrestling history was the 14-man single elimination tournament at WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where Hogan and Andre had the bye in the first round. You had
it was good because it was so original and unique in that moment. You go back and you say there wasn't really a good match among the card, but there was good stories being told.
Yeah, it was star-studded. There were decent match. I mean, the first round match between Ricky Steamboat and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
That was a good 4 minutes or whatever it was.
Second round match between Don Morocco and Ted DiBiase had a great finish with a hot shot, bear hug.
The hot shot was cool, yeah.
That was a great match. But, I mean, you also had some duds. I mean, Morocco fought Dino Bravo in the first round.
Yeah. And you have it was a unique at the time, the 15-minute draw between Snake and Jake the Snake Roberts and Rick Rude, which I love when I watch it, but I've tried a couple times to watch it since then. It's really slow, really boring.
I remember hating the match at the time.
Yeah. I think it was just the novelty of you didn't see it coming. You never saw draws in WWE time limit. Yeah. Class, so.
But the finals were exciting. I don't
know.
Not
a good match. Like I said,
it wasn't a bad match, it wasn't something we would become accustomed to in terms of work rate later on.
No.
But for the time, it was a decent match, yeah. But that's one tournament. I mean, WWF didn't really do outside of the King of the Ring. They never really did a lot of tournaments. I mean, you had the Survivor Series Deadly Games tournament,
the Survivor Series Deadly Games tournament is definitely one I would think of.
But not again. Probably worse work than the WrestleMania 4 one. It just, had, Gilbert and, the Boss Man in Austin, or Boss Man in Rock, I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, not exactly. But, I mean, it brought you the Rock's just turn babyface, immediately go heel, sharpshooter recreation finish with Mankind. So, again, a decent finish to the tournament.
Year later, you didn't see that finish coming. So that was what's cool about it. Hadn't been done a billion times yet.
Exactly. WWF did a lot of tag team tournaments.
Yeah.
It seemed like whoever were always getting injured,
Remember the tournament when Ultimate Warrior vacated the belt?
The Intercontinental title belt.
The finals was Tito Santana versus Kurt Hennig.
Yes, with his new manager.
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan.
That's right. I mean, that was actually a pretty good tournament. I enjoyed that. I'll go back to the King of the Ring. If you're going to watch it, I mean, the King of the Ring 93 and 94, as far as tournaments, especially 93. 93 just for pure wrestling. It was designed to highlight what Bret Hart did best, and it did.
Yeah.
Right?
And especially 94 in terms of Art Donovan.
Now, I'm talking about the tournament, not the event. That's a different thing again. But no, just again, talking about 93. Was the real tournament feel to it, which they often don't do now. I mean, now, the last few times the King of the Ring was on pay-per-view, it was just the semifinals and finals match, and everything else played out on TV. So this was a one-night, several matches, type deal. So it had that epic feel to me. But it was a different thing, so they couldn't get it across the crowd. You want to go back to the Crockett Cups were something that was done back in the NWA, back in the day, and basically you'd have both established teams. You had this big prize. I think it was like $100,000 or something like that, which at the time in like 86, 87,
yeah.
Real big prize. And they would take like 32 teams, and they would put them in there. And, you would have both established teams like the Road Warriors, the Rock and Roll Express, and these different guys. But you'd also have guys like,
the Mulkeys.
Well, yeah, but you'd also have guys like Dusty Rhodes. It's so big, he had to find a partner. And he'd go find, Nikita Volkoff. And you'd have...
Koloff.
Who did I say? Volkoff?
Volkoff.
And Nikita Koloff. You'd have him go find Nikita Koloff. You'd have Lex Luger find himself a partner. He'd find a, whatever.
Sting
or whatever. Yeah, like guys that weren't tag team wrestlers, but they had to get into it. It was a big deal. And these were great tournaments, had great wrestling. And because it was so big and went over several nights, these were awesome and really a success for the Crockett's for a little while. The other one that I'll say first off, I just want to say if we're talking, though, NWA, let's go WCW for the worst tournament ever.
Yes.
Bret Hart won the...
Mayhem.
Yeah. Worst tournament in wrestling history.
Was it not a 64-man tournament?
It was
tournament?
A 64-man tournament.
It's
like fucking had
Medusa
in it. Had things like... Kurt Hennig, who was no longer good enough to win a match, fluking his way to like countouts and DQs and moving on, had interference galore. It was Russo at his worst. It was a total mind fuck you couldn't keep up with. It was awful.
Yes, it was. And then, people would lose and get back in.
Yeah, all the time. Happened more than once. Yeah, it was just terrible. And then you got the finally you got the what I kind of liked Calgary here. Stampede Wrestling used to do a tournament style. It was very different than what we see now. Like I remember there was a tournament for the and I think Ben Bassarab actually ultimately won this. There was a tournament for the British Commonwealth Junior Heavyweight Championship. And how they used to do tournaments here, and they did them a few times. They did a tag one, and they did this. Was you would get you had to like if you lost, you had 2 points against.
Right.
And if you lost by count out, you had 1 point against. Or if you were disqualified, you had 1 point against. If you were pinned or submitted, you had 1 point against. And as soon as you got to 3 points against, you're out.
You're out.
So
yeah.
You could lose by count out twice and still be in the tournament. And still have a chance to win. It would keep going until everybody was eliminated. Same thing. You could lose one, but you just can't lose by count out now. Or you lose one by count out, but you just can't be pinned now. But you can, you know, it created a completely different dynamic. And while it sounds complicated, I had no trouble following it. And I kind of like that because it just creates a new storytelling techniques that you could use.
I agree with that. I mean, exactly. It's the sort of double knockout almost.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Which is good. But I think
I don't know if anybody else did it, but they had a lot of things like that, and it was probably a Bruce Hart thing and the red cards, which I still love and everything. You know, for disqualification. But they had a lot of stuff that was unique here. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I mean, I'm just trying to think of any. I mean, there's always you know those like. Japanese Super J Cups.
Yeah, Super J Cups, you know. G1 Climax. There you go. One coming up right now that
but even back
they're really
in
building
the day,
well, and you know
with the Pegasus Kid and the Lion.
Oh yeah, the Super J. There's a Super J Cup. Yeah, that has like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho and you know a bunch of guys you'd know like that, but also has
Malenko.
The greatest. Yeah, Malenko and has the best talent from Japan. And Mexico, there's one that was, yeah, I think it was the one where I think Benoit goes to the finals but doesn't win, or maybe he does win. But there's one, like, in that era that was, like, the best tournament ever.
How did they get over there?
By plane?
By plane. By the way, did you hear what the October pay-per-view is for WWE?
No.
WWE Battleground.
What's that?
No idea.
Awful name.
Yes.
But yeah. Anyways, but I'll just say at the end of the day here, I do love, there's something to me about, I mean, when I go, I love that one night 16-man tournament. Like, feels like a, you know, an epic accomplishment, Iron Man type thing to win. There's something to be said for that. You know, I kind of miss that.
There was, speaking of Iron Man, there were those WCW Iron Man tournaments, right?
Oh, yeah. They did that one at Starrcade.
At Starrcade,
where,
yeah,
everybody had to face everybody, and you got points for winning and losing. It was an Iron Man tournament. It was, like, Sting and Flair and Muda and Luger in one. And then you had a tag team one going on at the same time that had, like, the Steiners, the Road Warriors. The
Freebirds, was it?
No, it was the Samoa SWAT team replaced the Skyscrapers.
Right, the SST,
And I think it was like the Midnight Express, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But either way, there was great talent in both divisions. It was so unique. They only did it like the one time there at Starrcade, anyways, that I know of. But fuck, it was great.
Yeah. It was tremendous.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of
because he had your world champion in it, but he didn't win it.
But
Sting was the world champion, but Flair won the tournament, but both were baby faces, and it set up the heel turn down the road, too.
Yes, so, that's right.
It's great shit.
It was great shit. Right.
That's
a great tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And some more shitty ones if we wanted to, but I don't.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Let's do the
tag team tournaments from the mid-90s. Oh, yeah. God. Horrible.
Okay, there was the one for the vacant WWF titles back then with the Godwins and it was smoking caused everything. A tournament was just terrible. So
yeah, the it was won by, I think it was actually one of the tournaments because one of the smoking guns got hurt.
Yeah,
it was that was the one that led to the Lawrence Taylor Bam Bam shove at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
where Sparky Plug and the 1-2-3 Kid won the tag titles.
Beating Bam Bam and Tatanka.
Yeah, Tatanka in the final, and then they lost it back to the Smoking Guns the next night on Raw.
Yeah,
and then you had the one that. Yeah, I know. And then you had the one that culminated at WrestleMania 12 in the free for all, where the Body Donnas beat the Godwins.
Yeah, wasn't there a tournament for that? No, I guess there wasn't. No, I was thinking that there was a tournament. I think WCW might have had some horrible tournament also for the Hardcore Belt or something, but.
Probably. Yeah. Sounds like something they'd do.
Yeah. Anyways, let's do the plugs and leave.
Well,
here.
I did want to because it is a matter of wrestling history that one of the one of the Mongols, mm-hmm. Newton Tatry was his name. He passed away at the age of 82. So not one of the you know, the self-inflicted wrestling tragedies, but he is 82. But just to put this into context, he was a huge part of the Mongols, ghetto Mongol. And it was, you know, big, huge in WWF in 1969 and 1970. And the original Mongols were Ghetto and Beppo. And Beppo was Nikolai Volkov, wrestling in 1969 and 1970, and then would later, you know, 15 years later, be Hogan's big Russian opponent, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then, you know, it's, he also then, after, I guess, Nikolai would go on to the AWA and be Boris Berezhnikov. That would later morph into Nikolai Volkov. So then Ghetto got a new Mongol, Bolo Mongol, and that was Bill Eady, the mass superstar in Demolition Axe.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of really, big early, big 80s stars getting their start with this man.
Yeah.
There's some
lineage there that's certainly very interesting, so.
And but yeah, it is so sad to report that death.
And you know what? As long as we're reporting that, there was one. I didn't. I thought about whether we should or shouldn't. Maybe I guess we should because it is big news, sort of. The former WWE developmental star Brian McGee, better known in the developmental as DT Porter, is being charged with first degree murder for the stabbing death of his girlfriend.
And when you say better known as.
Well, yeah, that is relevant because he was not he wasn't there long or a really good prospect or anything. But he was there, so it's going to be something that will play out here over the next several months. I'm sure his storyline. So,
yeah. And actually, when I was 17, I bought my very first beer. I bought my very first beer. I bought it with a fake ID. My name was Brian McGee.
Mm.
I stayed up listening to Queen
mm-hmm.
when I was 17.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. So. Thank you for that. All right, do the plugs. Let's get the fuck out of here, please.
You never heard that song?
Yes, I heard it.
You should end that song. End the show with that. Yeah, so some plugs. We got the WeTalkWrestling.com. Everybody should go there because that's where all of the shows. That's where you can read the heartfelt letter to wrestling fans by Dixie Carter that we were talking about. They sent it to us. It's on the site there. So that's wonderful. We're at We Talk Wrestling on the Twitter, where we've had some Twitter questions, and we thank you. I haven't gone in. @WeTalkWrestling.com is the email that I still actually have to go into because they said I'm just getting back into town here. So there are probably some email questions sitting there that we didn't get to either. But
I probably haven't checked it for like 3 days, so.
Yeah, so that's @ADDIE @WeTalkWrestling.com. Stitcher, great app for your mobile devices. We Talk Wrestling is on Stitcher and also on iTunes. You can like us and subscribe to the podcast on the old iTunes there. So that's going to do it for the plugs.
All right, then I guess we're OUT.
So that's going to do it for yet another edition of We Talk Wrestling. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, Addy, now that we're off the air, I'm just wondering, when you were in Vegas, did you see any boobies?
I did see boobies.